are listening to Disney Travel Tales, episode number 7. This is a space where you can escape the real world and immerse yourself in someone's recent Disney trip. I'm Jenny, and today you are listening to part 2 of my interview with Becky and her daughter Emma. They are talking about their May mother-daughter Disney vacation. Make sure to listen to the end because Becky and I do a Q&A and she gives some great Disney traveling advice. Did you know there's a way to make planning your Disney vacation easier and less stressful? So many people feel overwhelmed planning their Disney vacation and have no idea that there are trained professionals out there to help. Our sponsor, Trolley Lane Travel, they're experts when it comes to Disney vacations. They are always up to date on specials Disney runs and have tips and tricks to help you navigate the parks easier. And guess what? This is all complimentary to you when you plan your trip with them. Saving you time and money is what they are best at. Visit them at trolleylanetravel.com to get connected with an agent and start planning your magical vacation today. They are also on Facebook and Instagram at Trolley Lane Travel LLC. Tell them Disney Travel Tales sent you. Okay, so let's begin our adventure with Becky and Emma. Imagine yourself at your favorite world showcase at Epcot. Mine is Japan, and let's go. Okay, so we are on day 4. What did y'all do on that day?
So today, it was Monday, though for half the morning, I kept on thinking it was Sunday. But this was, I think, Emma's most anticipated day of the trip, because it was the Epcot day. It was our Epcot day. Emma, what were you wanting?
I mainly wanted to do the Butterfly Garden, because the Butterfly Garden Festival was going on, and then the tour of the countries, which is always fun.
Yeah. So the main plan was, like you said, the Butterfly Garden, because obviously we were there during the Flower and Garden Festival. And she even had a cute little outfit picked out, with this cute little pink skirt, and then her shirt had little butterflies on it. So we picked it out just ever so for the day.
That's cute.
So this was definitely my first time planning to rope drop a butterfly garden. Normally for Epcot, that's not the plan. We normally head to Soarin' or Test Track or something, just not normally the butterfly garden.
Right.
But we were looking forward to it. Thankfully, though, we were a little tired, and Epcot doesn't open until 11 on this day, so we did get to sleep in a bit, which was very welcomed, I would say. So we ended up leaving our room at about 9:45, and we were heading over to the Skyliner. We could see the Skyliner was running, but it wasn't loading anybody. So we didn't know if it had been down and they were finally running it and testing it out for loading people. And the line was really long for it at this point. Like, we couldn't even see the end of the line. Like, I walked down for a bit and I still couldn't see it, and since I knew Emma would be stressed about getting to her butterfly friends, we decided, we're like, okay, well, let's go up to the front and see if maybe the buses were running, because oftentimes if the Skyliner is down for any reason, they'll start running the buses for the parks that you would normally connect to the Skyliner with. So we headed out front, and talking to the cast member that was out there, they weren't even aware that the Skyliner was down, and so they did not have buses running. At this point, it was already a little bit warm in the morning, because it was a little bit later in the morning, and I really didn't feel like walking all the way back to the Skyliner. So I decided to splurge and order us a lift. When I went to order it, it said the estimated weight for the lift was going to be like 3 minutes, which I was like, holy moly, like, that's ridiculous. But Emma needed to use the ladies' room, so there's a great little save and wait option on lift. So it was like, if I waited 10 to 15 extra minutes, then I would save a couple of dollars. So,
oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like that. So I thought that was great. Since we weren't like super time crunch, right. You know, I figured, yeah, I'll just wait. And I noted with the extra minutes that we had to wait, Emma, my big old 17-year-old, was trying to hunt lizards, the little gecko lizards that run around everywhere. She was running around and hunting those, which, you know, that was sweet as a mama to see.
That's fun.
But the cost of our lift was $12. So just for people to know, like, and that was just for the standard lift. As of right now, when I was there, they were only seating people in the back. So you just have to be aware of that when you're ordering a lift, that you order one that's going to have enough seats for everybody with you. So our lift driver, Ricardo, showed up and he was fantastic.
That's like, awesome.
We got into the car and I saw, like, all of a sudden he's playing with this playlist and he just put on Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Aww.
You know, by Cyndi Lauper. And I was like,
that's so cute. Realized,
I was like, he put that on just for us.
Yeah.
You know? And then the next song on the playlist was My Best Friend's Girl.
Aww.
Right. You know, and I was just like, that's so neat. Like, he must have different playlists, maybe depending on who gets in the car. And then he did break the rules a little bit. He went into the supposedly the bus only lane when we were entering Epcot. And so the council member that stopped him was like, oh, this lane's only supposed to be for the buses, whatever. But he bypassed it and he's like, yeah, I just do what's best because otherwise we have to wait in that really long line or whatever. So
that's funny.
I made sure to give Ricardo a little extra tip, you know, for breaking the rules and almost getting in trouble.
That's fun.
So we were at Epcot. He dropped us off at Epcot at 20 past 10. So, I mean, we left our room at 9:45, and even with, like, going over to the Skyliner and getting the lift and everything, we were still there, you know, relatively early.
Yeah,
the park was going to open at 11, so we were doing good. By the time we got through security, it was 10:22. And scanned into the parks. And at this point, I had realized what was more than likely setting off the security detectors for me, which was the bottle of sunscreen. So we left that back at the resort. We had other sunscreen to reapply, but we left that back at the resort.
Was it like a metal bottle or like aluminum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an aluminum bottle. So
that's good to know.
I left that at the hotel. And then also I moved my battery pack. Like, I have one of those larger brick battery packs to charge my phone, and I moved that towards like one of the front pockets of my backpack, thinking maybe if they could, I don't know how those things work, but I figured like if they could scan it better somehow, then they won't ding. And it also goes to say, like, if you can bring an umbrella into the park and things like that, or those metal water bottles, just those you have to take out of your bag and kind of hold in front of you as you walk through the security detectors and everything. But so, yeah, so we were in the park by 10:22, and the park was officially opening at 11. So we went right over to the Butterfly Garden. We got over there by about 10:30, and we were informed that the butterflies were not ready yet. They were sleeping in a little bit, so it would be a few minutes before it was going to open. The garden is placed right in between the Living with the Land pavilion, like where Soarin' is, and then Journey into Imagination with Figment. So Emma had the idea maybe we should go visit Figment over at Journey to Imagination. However, Figment also wasn't ready to visit yet. They said that it would open at 11. So pretty much my assumption is that typically Journey to Imagination is not something people rope drop, you know,
because
it's just a short little thing, that they were just having some of the larger rides open before the park officially opened. So we just decided to wait over at the Butterfly Garden because that was Emma's thing. And we were excited to maybe be the first guests in to visit with the butterflies. And we were. It opened up at, what time did it open up? 10:45?
Yeah.
I think it was. Yeah. It opened up at 10:45. And so we headed on in, and Emma had a blast. What was your favorite butterflies in there?
Probably the long tail. Yeah, as a species, the long tails are like the biggest and the most colorful butterflies. And there were a couple monarchs in there as well, which are my favorite kind of butterflies. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. The really colorful, larger ones, they were all flying up higher. So it was hard to get them for pictures, which was a little frustrating. Mm-hmm. But we did get lots of pictures. Like, I have pictures of Emma taking pictures.
That's cute.
We spent a while in there. They're just so pretty. Even just all the flowers and everything in there, mm-hmm, were so pretty. We were probably in there for about 20 minutes or so. And it's neat. Like, of course, obviously in there, it kind of teaches you about butterflies. And they even have little things set up where there's new chrysalises in there with butterflies that are starting to hatch. So, mm-hmm, I think we actually saw a couple hatch.
We were in there long enough to see one that had just hatched, and we also saw him with his wings like fully dried off and ready to fly.
Right, so we got to watch his little process of like kind of unfolding and drying off and everything, which was, for my little butterfly lover, it was the highlight of the day, probably, for sure. Yeah.
So for anyone listening that doesn't know, it's like a tent where you walk in and the butterflies are flying around you.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, And they have special things where, like, when you're walking into the tent, they have these kind of, like, beaded ropes, mm-hmm, hanging down. Mm-hmm. So that way, you know, the butterflies can't really get out. I mean, some of them do.
Right.
And then, yeah, it's basically, like, just this beautiful little flower garden to walk through. Like, there's tons, like, all the flowers that butterflies love and all the, mm-hmm, bushes and everything. And it's really pretty. And it's all kind of in this, like, net tent.
Uh-huh.
I do warn everybody, it feels like you're in the shade in a way, but you're not.
Yeah.
So it gets very warm in there. So I really do recommend trying to get, if this is something that you want to do, getting in there earlier in the day before the heat of the day comes. And then it closes around dusk. So it's definitely not like a nighttime event that you can do.
That's really cool.
And it's only ever at Epcot during the Flower and Garden Festival, which this festival, depending on when our episode airs here, but this episode is going until July before they replace it with the Food and Wine Festival. So anybody visiting in June can still visit.
When are you there for the Food and Wine Festival?
Yes, our next trip is during the Food and Wine Festival. As we very much enjoyed our tour around the countries, as you'll hear on this trip. So she's looking forward to doing that again.
Mm-hmm. With different foods to try.
Yeah.
That is fun.
Yeah. So after this, it was time to go thank the Phoenicians, which, mm-hmm, for those of you that are kind of new to Disney, that means we wanted to go over and ride Spaceship Earth. There's an area in there where Dame Judi Dench talks about thanking the Phoenicians, because of them we can read and write. So we headed over there. That's always a favorite ride, though, you know, some people are like, what is up with this ride? It's just a Disney classic. It's a great attraction. They are supposed to be doing kind of an overhaul to it in the next few years. So I definitely like to visit it, just, you know, remind
myself. It's air conditioned.
Yes, and it's air conditioned.
Mm-hmm. And you get to sit down.
And
most of the queue's in the shade.
Yeah. Yes, most of the queue is in the shade. And it's also always, it's like a wind tunnel right there. So it's always very breezy down there.
It does feel good.
Yeah, the wait time was posted at about 15 minutes. And it was probably about 10 minutes, which is actually kind of a long wait for that attraction. We did meet a nice family in the queue for the ride that we were chatting with the whole time. It was their first visit to Disney, and they were from Arizona. And it was sweet. Like, I can't help it, I chat with everybody. And you know, they, and I'm not saying this to plug a travel agency or plug booking with a travel agent, but I guess I kind of am. They booked it on their own, and they booked the park reservations late, and so they were having to deal with all these different things. Basically, they were having to go to Epcot every day before they could hop over to another park. But they were really sweet, and we had fun chatting with them. And after we got off the ride, we ran into them at the end, and I had asked them, you know, like, did you book with a travel agent? Because I didn't want to step on any toes. Like,
right.
Because I was giving them my number to text me or call me during their trip if they had any questions. But, you know, obviously I want to ask if they were working with someone first, because I'm not going to step on another person's toes. And they weren't. And so I gave them my card. They were really sweet. It's fun. Like, we kept on running into them the whole rest of the day and had some fun interactions with them.
I think it's important. Yeah, I totally agree with booking with a travel agent, because I've done it on my own. And then I did it with you, and it was just 100% different experience.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, I've even talked to people, and they don't even realize that some people don't even know there are Disney travel agents.
Right. Right.
Or that it's like you don't have to pay extra for them.
Right. Yeah. They really don't. And I mean, we'll talk about that another time.
Yes.
Probably swirl into a whole tangent on that. So
for sure.
Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear about what we ate next and where we went.
Yes, we do.
So we decided it was time to, or Emma decided.
Yeah.
What? It was time to tour the countries?
Yeah.
It was time to tour the countries. But first, she needed a snack because we hadn't eaten.
Yeah, no, we hadn't.
Yeah, we hadn't eaten anything yet. We have had our morning Dr. Pepper. That wasn't in our notes, but we did have our morning Dr. Pepper.
Nice.
And so we were walking past and we saw the cart with the Mickey pretzel, which Emma hadn't been able to get the Mickey pretzel at Hollywood Studios. So she was very happy to get her Mickey pretzel. I think she even shared one ear with me, one Mickey ear with me.
One Mickey ear and a little bit of a mouth as well.
Right. Yes. I
definitely have. Nice.
She was very kind to let me have a tiny bit of her Mickey pretzel. So we headed off, and then Emma decided she wanted to start in Mexico.
Yeah.
So we went over to Mexico, and this was surprising. There was actually a queue. Well, not so surprising, but anyway, there was a queue to get into the Mexico pavilion, into the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
But it went pretty quick. We got in the line, we were at the bottom of the stairs of the pyramid, and we were in line at like 11:52. Emma was just snacking on her pretzel the entire time. Though with this one, the queue is all outside and it is all in the sun, so I was a little bummed that I hadn't brought my umbrella with me, because I do have a little travel umbrella specifically for sun protection, so it's a thicker umbrella. But so we were in line at 11:52, and I remember noting we entered the building at 11:58, because I was so happy to be in the air conditioner.
Oh yeah, that's not a long wait at all.
Right. We were still in the line, but it's nice because when you first get up into the building, the area that you're waiting in before you kind of go down into the pavilion is all cocoa themed and everything. So those were cute and interesting to look at. And then we were officially in the building and in the area and free to roam at 12:02. So really it was only a 10-minute wait to get in. We just love that area because it really feels like you're in Mexico. You're in like this evening shopping center. Like, it kind of throws you off because you feel like it's nighttime.
Yeah.
You know, and Emma said we should do the ride first.
Yeah.
So we went on the Grand Fiesta tour. I will warn people who get into the queue for that ride. It's always been a very tight feeling line. Like, it's very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, as of when we were on our trip, they had the plexiglass walls up in there. So it did make it feel a little bit more confining.
Yeah.
It was nice and cool in there, nice and air-conditioned and everything, but if anybody has issues with tight spaces, I could see them getting a little while in that line. But you're only in it for like 2 minutes, so it's really not a big deal. At the time, they were still socially distancing on the attraction. So we literally had a whole boat it was us and then another party of two. Like, we were in the front row and they were in the back row. Like, we had the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's a fun little ride.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's cute. It's basically a Mexico tourism. Like, I love it as a travel agent. Like, it's a Mexico tourism, you know, advertisement with the three caballeros, you know,
that's
chasing
so
Donald
cute.
Around.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Donald's number one. So that's what he says. So then what did we do after Mexico?
Well, after the ride, we shopped in the shops.
Sorry, yes, we shopped in the shops.
Because I wanted to look in the little glass shop that they have right next to the ride. So we looked around in there. And then we kind of peeked out on the outdoor shopping areas, but it was really crowded in there, and they weren't selling as much as they usually did. Because all the shops in the World Showcase were having problems getting shipments from their countries. Because of COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
so and I like how you said we did all the outdoor shopping, but we weren't outdoors. We were still in the building. It just feels you're doing outdoor shopping. She really likes the little glass shop because there was even a gentleman in there at the time blowing glass and making some jewelry while we were in there. And they did have a little bit less stuff in there. Like normally there's the artists that are painting the little animals.
Mm-hmm.
He was still there, but he was in a smaller shop with just a little table instead. Normally they're there and they have this like whole big section. And I think that was to also, you know, give people more room to spread out.
Right. That makes sense.
And I told Emma while we're there, I'm like, we have to eat at that restaurant that's in there one of these times. Because it's just, it's so neat. It's definitely my way to visit Mexico. Though I do enjoy going to Mexico, but I also, and it's easier to go to Mexico.
Very much.
Yeah. sorry, Emma. Emma corrected me on that. So after Mexico, we then went to Norway.
Yeah.
Which is right next door to Mexico, of course. We didn't get any snack. Yeah.
We got the dessert anyway.
In Mexico we didn't get
snack. Mexico we didn't get a snack.
There was nothing there that piqued her interest, and so we just went to Norway and needed a treat over there. But first we went and we did some shopping first, or did we have snack first?
I honestly can't remember which we did first.
We did both of these things. We can't remember which one we did first. Let's say we shopped first. So
yeah.
we just went into the shop, which is basically in Norway, it's the Frozen store.
The
Anna and Ilsa's store, but they had some really cute, lovely little stuffed animals and little baby Sven.
Mm-hmm.
Which he was adorable. And then, of course, if you ever want to buy the most expensive sweater you'll ever buy in your life, you can get those there for like $280.
Oh my
They're
gosh.
Beautiful, you know, and probably handcrafted and everything. But and of course, if you want the photo op of picking the giant troll's nose that's in there, that's where you find it, is in that shop. They also have a great perfume and cologne store in there, which I've actually gotten some of the perfume from that store before, which was neat. But then we went into the Kringle. I can never pronounce it properly, but it's like the Kringle Bakery right there in Norway. Some of their more popular things are like the school bread, and everybody talks about the school bread there. I've had it. I don't see what the excitement
All
is
the
for
hype.
It. But some people love it, so good. I'm glad they have something that they love there.
There you go.
Emma decided to get, how did they pronounce it? Do you remember how they pronounced it?
Once I find where it is.
It's right there. Lefis?
Lefka?
Lefka? I can't, like, their letters make different sounds, but
yes.
It was spelled L-E-F-S-E. And basically, it was a tortilla. Spread with butter and cinnamon and sugar and rolled up.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was a potato flatbread.
It was a potato flatbread, but it looks like a tortilla.
Oh, that's funny.
Of course, I'm like, I could make this at home.
Right.
But we enjoyed it. We went and sat down in the little area that they have to sit down outside, and we enjoyed that. She did let me have a couple. Actually, I think we split it.
Yeah, we split it.
Yeah, she split that one with me.
It was a nice cool treat is what it was.
Yeah, it was nice and cool. And also, we did get free ice water from the bakery as well. And so we just sat down and enjoyed that, enjoyed our ice water, and enjoyed sitting. And then we were pretty much done. And these other girls were like, I could tell they were looking for spots to sit. And so I was like, do you need some place to sit? Yeah, we're leaving. I'll slowly start packing up our stuff while you guys get over here. Because, like, they were on the other side of where we were, so they had to walk around to get in there. So we slowly cleaned up our mess so they could snag our table.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And then as we were leaving, we started to head out, and then the Princess Cavalcade was coming down. So if ever you're there and they're having cavalcades, you'll be able to know, because all of a sudden the music will change and get really loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to look for the Princess Cavalcade coming by. And we saw Belle, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, and Mulan was on the little carriage that came by. So that was...
because they're all the princesses from different...
From the different countries
in the area. So they had one to come by.
Yeah, so that was neat. Next up, it was time for, we're going to say, some fun in the House of Good Fortune in China. Basically, the House of Good Fortune is the giant shop in the China Pavilion. Mm-hmm. Like, you start at one end and walk all over. It's like the whole country is the shop. And Emma loves it. She loves that shop.
It's great fun.
What did you get? Because you bought something.
I did. I got this real cute little boat incense burner. And it had like a little... the boat is to catch the ash that falls. And then it had a little porcelain dish that you actually put the incense in that had like a little flower face on it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's great.
Yeah, she was very excited about that. And I swear, ever since she's brought that home, now her and my other daughter are now all obsessed with incense.
Yeah. So
I'm having flashbacks to high school.
Right.
Megan is much more into it.
Right. So we'll see how much money she's going to drop on incense when we go. But yeah, it was really cute. And I do love that store. That store is great to little gifts for people, you know, that, like, if you're on your vacation, you want to bring something home for somebody, but maybe they're not huge lovers of Disney and everything. Like my mom, she's not a big Disney person. So they have, you know, they have the little wooden fans, you know, and you can get their name painted on it in Chinese and everything. Neat. So it has really neat gift options in there. And then we were hungry because at this point I've only had an ear of a Mickey pretzel and half of this wrap thing. So maybe it was a good time to have protein.
Mm-hmm.
And the kiosk in China had this really good looking chicken skewer that had like this peanut sauce on it. So what worked out really well this whole trip was whenever I would go to get food, and we would go find a spot for us to sit in the shade.
That's awesome.
And also what I found that worked really well, especially while we were in Epcot, was I just had them scan my magic band for all snacks that we got there instead of trying to pull out my debit card or anything like that. I just had them scan my band and put the charges on the room. But so we went up to that kiosk and got the chicken skewer. It was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. I think it was by far one of my favorite snacks we had there.
Right.
That night.
And it was just one skewer, was it? No, it was two.
No, it was just one. Oh, but it was an entire chicken breast.
Right.
So, wow.
I was really surprised. Like, it was just the one skewer, but it was good. And it wasn't breaded or anything. It was just a nice thick cut of meat. And so we just shared it. And I'm not going to say it filled us, because it didn't fill us, but
it hit the spot.
Right. It does have a little heat to it. Like, no, not flaming hot. Like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die or anything like that. So yeah, that was good, and we figured it would at least carry us to our next snack break. Which our next area that we went to, we just carried on to the next country, which was Germany. And we looked through the shops and everything in there. And I got all excited because they had Dopey and Grumpy ornaments in there.
Oh, cute.
And I was really hoping to find a Doc one because my grandfather loved Doc. Aww. And sadly, they did not have, poor Doc gets no love. It's always Dopey and Grumpy get all the attention. But there's some really cute German stuff, and you can get beer signs, and you can get glass cups with your names etched into them. And it was just really, really neat. But we didn't spend much time.
Yeah, not a lot of time spent in Germany.
No, we really just went into the shop and then moved on to the next country. Because it wasn't it. We looked at the menu for the little kiosk that was there, and nothing really jumped out.
There was in Germany, and one of the spots, I don't know if this is just for the Flower and Garden Festival, but there was a little garden set up, and it had little cottages arranged in it. And if you look in the cottages, you would see Snow White's cottage with Snow White, a little figurine of Snow White standing outside her cottage.
Right.
That she had in the wood with the dwarves. So if you see that, make sure to look for Snow White.
That was also where the train was.
Yeah, where the train in Little Fake Town, in the little fake train town is, but I didn't see anything.
Right. So anymore. They have this whole miniature little train area that's outside that's got all these trains that run through, and it's so cute because it is all this miniature. And then when you look closely at this one section, like the little town area has their lamppost, and on the lamppost are little banners for the Flower and Garden Festival.
Oh,
and then
cute.
One of the trains was pulling a bunch of flowers and everything. So it's like themed for what's going on at the time. During Food and Wine, they have Food and Wine stuff there. So it's really cute. And a good spot to look for Hidden Mickeys if that's anybody's thing over there. After Germany, my favorite. Well, kind of. I mean, it's my favorite because, you know, you're Italian. I'm married to an Italian. So I love to go there and try to, when they have, before COVID, most of the cast members that work there are brought over from Italy. Like, they come over on work visas and everything. So I always, like, ask them to pronounce my last name properly.
That's
Italian.
So fun.
Because I mutilated it, and they just sound so fancy.
That's cool.
But yeah, there's in Italy, there's a little tiny kind of gift shop. It mainly has like stores for wine and alcohol over there.
And opera masks.
Oh yes, and the opera masks, like those, the hand painted masks, which they are really beautiful. They're just not something.
Yeah, not our thing.
Wear into. Emma decided she was going to try her first cannoli, which I thought she loved. So Emma doesn't like creamy textured things typically, but she, except for ricotta cheese, and this cannoli was made with ricotta cheese. However, it was not a hit, so unfortunately I had to eat the cannoli myself.
That's so sad,
but it was heartbreaking. And there wasn't anything else on that menu that she wanted, but I had wanted to try. They have these risotto sausage balls with a little pomodoro sauce with it, and they were delicious. And they were a nice little treat. But yeah, so Emma did find a nice little spot for us to sit. So we sat over there, and she enjoyed catching up on her phone while I enjoyed my snacks. She wanted to eat over there. And we were waiting because there was a new gelato store, not store, but a new gelato stand that opened up at the edge of Italy. So we were very excited to try that. So this was the only time Emma failed me, though, at finding a spot to sit in the shade
she found a little spot that fit her teeny tiny little self in the shade, and I had to go sit on the ground and have it. But so we went over to the, I went over mm-hmm. to the gelato stand, and they had some really neat things. And this is also where we ran into the family from earlier uh-huh. on Spaceship. And the dad comes up, he's like, I swear we're not stalking you. it was really cute.
That's funny. But
I got the strawberry sorbet, and Emma got the lemon mm-hmm. sorbet. But oddly enough, like we went to the gelato stand and we both got sorbet.
Right. That's funny.
Gelato. But I wanted something like kind of light and refreshing. Yeah. And I'm glad I got it because it was delicious.
And they were really, really good.
Yeah. You had said first the lemon one was a little.
It was more lemony than I was expecting it to mm-hmm. be. But once you get used to it, it's a really nice, light Meyer's lemon flavor.
Right.
And it's really, really good.
Right. Of course, in my mind, I could picture it even delicious, more delicious, like mixed with, I don't know, vodka or something. Anyway, hey, some people don't know these things.
Can you, I don't think you bring vodka in the first place.
Well, no, like, I wish they would make that a drink. There okay. is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
no,
that's a good idea.
No, you cannot bring, disclaimer, no, you cannot bring alcohol into the parks. So
you can buy it there.
You cannot bring it there.
Nope. You will get flagged.
You will get flagged. Yes. So after that, it was next up was the American Pavilion, which we didn't get anything in there. There was some stuff that sounded good, but we weren't really that hungry mm-hmm. at that, so there was nothing that we were going to try to force feed ourselves on.
Also, it's American food. We live in America.
Right.
We get this food whenever we want. But we did visit the rest area there, and also went through. They changed the stores a bit. Like now the store that's at the American Pavilion is now like an art Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a lot of artwork and stuff, which I love because I love Disney artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I had fun, of course, making a wish list. Like I went through and took pictures of a bunch of things and I was like, Emma, send this one to Dad. Send this one to Dad. Like, you know, if he needs any gift ideas, inspiration for us.
There you go.
And then after that, we walked through, and up next was the Japan Pavilion. But right before you get into Japan, there's a little stand over there. We had looked at the kiosk that was specific for Japan for food and for the festival. I can't speak.
Flower and Garden Festival.
Flower and Garden. But there wasn't anything on their menu that she was really interested in. One of the things that's popular there is the frushi, which is like this mm-hmm. this sushi. But she wasn't feeling that. We had just had sweets. But then they have a regular stand that's there that's kind of got this like shaved ice stuff. Mm-hmm. But they also have chilled edamame or however you use that there, which Emma loves that. And they were nice and she was excited because they were nice, big, fat, juicy
mm-hmm.
pods. So we grabbed that for a snack for her. And I felt like, ooh, we're being healthy here. And then we did a little shopping in that store because the Japan store is very similar to the China store, which is, it's huge and has tons of stuff in there. And then this is where you found the incense.
The lotus incense.
Yeah. It was a lotus flower incense. So we bought that. I don't think, did we buy anything else? No, I thought maybe we had bought two things in there, but.
We spent a lot of time looking at all the fun chip flavors.
Oh, yeah. They had all these different, like chips. Oh, I wish we had written some of them. One of them was Italian meat-flavored chips. Like,
what?
So it's Lay's brand chips, but...
It's the ones they sell in Japan, which has all the different flavors. Like, I think there might have been a wasabi-flavored chip.
Right.
Or at the very least, I know a lot of stuff in Japan is often wasabi or matcha-flavored. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think they had matcha flavored too. I can't remember. Well, we'll have to make sure we write them down on the next trip. So we
that's so funny.
If we do another podcast, because uh-huh. we're just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like the Italian meat flavored one really
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Oh, they had like crab flavored.
Oh yeah, crab flavored.
Oh, that is so weird.
But that is what's neat there with all those shops, because you can do that. You can buy food and different snacks and everything there and try them. And they normally have a sake bar in there, but that was closed right now.
As was the Live Pearl.
Oh, yes. They do this live pick a pearl thing where they have the clams and everything in there, and they'll open them up, and they do this whole, you know, ceremonial thing, and then you open
That's
up
really
and see
neat.
The pearl that you get. But right now, because they don't want to draw the crowds and everything, yeah. That's not available. Hopefully that will be coming back soon, because Emma wants to do.
Yeah, I like watching it.
And she likes watching. It is really neat to watch. And oh yeah, we ran into our Spaceship Earth friends over there. I'm telling you, we ran into them.
Yeah.
It was fun. And then next up was Morocco. Nothing on the Morocco menu appealed to either one of us. And honestly, nothing in Morocco's open right now, like none of the shops. Morocco was run by like a third party, not Disney, and they just haven't reopened. I think Disney has now taken it over, but they just haven't reopened, which was kind of a bummer because they normally have all these neat shops with all this different Moroccan jewelry and beading and the beautiful clothing that they have. So that was kind of a bummer because we love to kind of go in and look at all that jewelry and everything there. So pretty much the only thing there is the restrooms. So they have that all blocked off.
They also have the one shaded part and they're also blocked off as well.
right. The one shaded area. Then as we were walking through, there's this little shop. It was a little kiosk basically in between Morocco and France. Like it was kind of sitting there all on its own. It was like the Isle Fiesta.
I think it was Caribbean.
It was like a Caribbean thing. And Emma got a shrimp skewer and rice there. And the shrimp skewer, I would say it was probably what, medium-sized shrimp?
Yeah, it was medium-sized shrimp, and there were five shrimps on the skewer.
Oh, wow, that's wild.
And then it was served over a rather large amount of rice from what you're ordering, and then it had curry on top of it, and it was really good.
So it's like a miniature meal.
It really was, and I wish I'd written down the price for it. I'm a horrible.
I will warn you, though, that shrimp tails are still attached on the skewer.
Okay.
So you will need to, or at least they were when I ate there, so you will need to remove them before you just shove it into your mouth.
And she enjoyed it. She said the shrimp was good, you know, but I think you really liked the rice.
I really liked the rice.
Was really, and then next is my favorite. I say that about everything.
You get alcohol.
She said it makes something lush. Yes, my favorite beverage is there, but we always loved France.
Mm-hmm.
Emma was obsessed with France when she was little, and she still kind of is. And we just love the bakery tucked in the back over there. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
Right.
Even though I took a couple of years of French.
Mm-hmm.
But we love it back there because I normally always get the ham and cheese croissant sandwich over there because it's a good sized sandwich and it's relatively inexpensive.
Don't look very pretty.
The croissant did look like it was maybe a little overbaked, but it was still delicious. And Emma, because I'm a sucker and spoiled her, I got her the macaron, however you want to pronounce it, sampler.
Oh, yeah. So
it was, what, six?
Six or seven-ish.
Or seven little macarons, and like we were trying to like guess what the flavor was going to be before trying it, and we were off.
On a lot of them.
Like we expect, for some reason, I expected one of them to be like lemon, but it was, I think it was lime. I don't know.
You said one was pistachio and it was lime instead.
Right. Yes. The green one, because macaroni place at the mall, the green one is always pistachio.
Yeah, that's all I've ever seen.
What's the macaroni place at the mall?
You didn't get it. It was on another trip anyway. But so yeah, so we enjoyed our ham and cheese croissant, or I enjoyed my ham and cheese croissant. Emma enjoyed her macaroons, and all except for one that she decided not to finish eating, which was like the orange flavored one. And again, ran into our friends from Spaceship Earth. Because I kept on telling them to go to France and get my favorite drink, which is the Grand Marnier slushy, the kiosk outside of France, but they ended up getting something else drink. He's like, are you telling me I got the wrong drink? And I was like, well, I think so. And he's like, well, shoot, now we're going to have to go try this one. So they were around there. And then we did go take a peek at the new Ratatouille area that's coming to France and Epcot. And it's really cute. Like, it's really well done. And there was a Ratatouille
topiary.
So we took some pictures with him over there. Or Remy. It was Remy. But we're excited for that. Though it's not going to open until October 1st. So it's just another reason to go back again for you.
I know. I can't wait to hear about that ride.
Yeah. I'm very excited for it. So we got my Grand Marnier slushy, and then we headed over to my other favorite area. They're all my favorite areas, it seems like. But we went over to the UK, and right as we entered the UK, there's this little
garden pavilion.
They have a little garden pavilion, and they have this little, for the Flower and Garden Festival, they have it like set up as like a tea area. Kind of explain to you where teas come from and things like that. But as we were walking over there, Mary Poppins was out.
Oh, that's fun.
I love her, and I was very excited to kind of go and visit with her for a moment or two. And we walked through the store there, which had some really cute things. I swear one of these days I'm going to get the little corgi stuffed animals that they have in it. I know you think I'm a goober. They're just so cute, and I'm a royal family nut, so they're the queen's corgis. Like, they're just cute. And then we went back into, they have this really pretty flower garden courtyard area in the back with this little gazebo. Normally, actually, Mary's meeting back there at the gazebo, which I was surprised she wasn't there this time. She was in the other area. And we discovered a couple of other little topiaries. Not, they weren't topiaries.
In that back area, back there, they are on the Tinker Village from Tinkerbell, on the Tinkerer's houses.
Right, so all the little fairy houses.
And Tinkerbell's house, and then the lost things as well from the Tinkerbell series.
Right, so that was really cute to see back there. And they're also neat and very intricate, and how they use all the little tiny acorns for things and things that they've found around there. So
that's really cool.
That was fun. And so we went and found a bench to sit at in the shade while I enjoyed my drink. And then Emma went on the hunt for more lizards. They had the big garden with the little bush maze and everything. So she was hunting for, I don't think you found any.
Oh, I found plenty. I did not catch any.
While we were back there, we saw Mary leaving to go. I think she said she had to meet Bert for afternoon tea, so she was going off there. And then a few minutes later, Alice was coming out to go.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, she had her flower basket, and that was really sweet. So it was a nice little character interaction.
Yeah, y'all got really lucky with that.
We did. And we did actually see the princesses another time, like a cab, another cavalcade. We didn't see the Anna and Elsa cavalcade during this one, but I know that they do that. We just were probably eating a snack somewhere when they came through. Yeah. So.
And at one point, Moana music started playing out of nowhere.
Oh, I wonder what that
is. The time that we were in Italy at the time.
That's interesting.
Right. Who knows what that was for? Next, we just went over to Canada and explored for a little bit. There's nothing much open in Canada. I mean, there's nothing much in Canada to begin with besides Le Cellier, which is one of my favorite restaurants there. And then they have the movie that's in there, but Emma didn't want to do that. So we just kind of walked through because it's so beautiful over there. So, of course, I made Emma take some pictures over there. And, like, it's really neat because you can kind of walk through and there's this waterfall, which when the wind's blowing just right, it blows a bit of water on you, which was very nice as we were walking through. And let me see. Oh, Emma decided that before we were going to leave for the day, you wanted to ride
Soarin'. Yeah.
Right. And the posted wait time was only 45 minutes. Not 45 minutes. It was 45 minutes, and it was, like, the last thing she really kind of wanted to do. So I figured, well, let's go on and do it. And we entered the queue at 5:17, and just as we entered the queue, they dropped the wait time to 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We were in that pre-show area by 5:39, by 5:40. So really, it was only about 20 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
There was no more plexiglass between. Before, they kind of had, like, every few seats, they had this little, actually looked like a booster seat.
Yeah.
The car, and they had the plexiglass on it. Those were removed, but they were having us separate one, leaving one seat per party between us. So that was great, and we had a good ride. It was fun. I think we had a couple of people on there that were riding for the first time, so they were like, oh, "Wow!" or like getting scared, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's so fun. I love hearing that.
Yeah, I love riding that ride. Then we did Living with the Land because it was only a 5-minute wait. We were very happy to get on that one boat. There was like this large,
and the party took the entire boat.
Yeah, the party took the entire boat, and obviously they had maybe been drinking around the world because they're a little bit rowdy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So we ended up on the boat like a couple behind them. I think we were, and as we were getting on, I said to the cast member, I was like, "Well, if the ride shuts down for some reason, I bet I know what boat to blame for."
Oh my gosh!
She was laughing because it was a little. It was a little crazy. And because I was joking with her, she then put us in the... I like to think that pixie dusted by her, because then she put us in the very front of the boat, which is great because you have a great view of everything. Mm-hmm. And they were filling every row, but they had, like, the plexiglass. Not plexiglass, but, like, block sheeting between each of the areas. Oh, yeah. And I did get wet on that ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think somebody must have spilled a drink or something in the seats beforehand. And so I didn't sit in the water or whatever the drink was. But then, you know, it's a water ride. Like,
right.
You're in the water going through it. Like, the boat kind of tilted a little bit and the water came all the way down. And my butt stopped it.
Oh, man.
The whole right side of my pants. I was really hoping it was water that they spilled.
Right.
Sticky. So that
but
was.
I think it was just water.
Yeah, I think it was just water. But yeah, but that was fun. I love that attraction. I think you do too. That is a great one too if you're looking for hidden Mickeys. Kids looking for hidden Mickeys. There's tons of them in that area. And I just think it's neat, like, learning how to grow things and seeing all the different things that they grow and the different ways that they can grow it. And a lot of the stuff that they grow there is used in the restaurants at Epcot. So
that's really neat.
It's really neat. And I guess you could kind of say it's educational. So you kind of, as a day of school for the kids, if they're on a Disney vacation, it's like, well, this day counts as being at school because, you know,
you learn something.
I know I tried to get my kids to go on that ride and my middle son was like, is it a learning ride? I don't want to do it.
It's like, it's a ride inside with air conditioning.
And you need to see fish.
I was like, oh. Yeah. And then my other kids were like, learning? No.
we're not learning anything. Well, next time just tell them to hunt for the hidden Mickeys. It's like, no, it's not a learning ride. You're hunting for hidden Mickeys. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll just be like, there's a really big drop at the end. And then I'll get them on. And they're like, where's the drop?
They're like, oh, they must have changed it.
Oh, they changed it. Sorry. My bad.
Okay.
After that, we decided we were done
yeah.
for the day. Because at this time, it was like, it was just after six, mm-hmm. I think, or a little after. So we headed back to go and take the Skyliner mm-hmm. back to the resort. We got in line for the Skyliner at 6:41. Mm-hmm. It was about halfway up the ramp. And it was funny because the guy in front of us was complaining, like, oh, this is the worst waiting in this line. Like, blah, blah, blah. This is the worst line I've waited in all day. And I laughed because we were on our Skyliner at 6:45. It was like, it was 4 minutes. Like, we were in line for 4 minutes, you know. I was like, I know you waited in line longer for a beer in Germany than right. you did for the Skyliner. Like, it was just funny. But yeah, so we were in line for the Skyliner at 6:41, and then we were dropped off at our resort at 7:05. And so that's with switching the line too, because when you leave Epcot, you then have to go over to, it takes you over to Riviera, which you stay on the Skyliner, and then it takes you to Caribbean Beach Resort, which you get off there and switch lines and then head to Pop Century. So
yeah, that's quick.
Ridiculous how quick it was. And so then we did our typical, we showered, got the bags repacked and outfits ready for the next day. We were in bed watching a movie, and at 8:00, I think I had a phone call with a client. You were watching a movie at about 8:00, and the lights out were at like 8:52, because we had a big early day the next day. We were going to visit the enemy. No, Universal. And our plan for the next day was to wake up early. I think it was 6:15, and then head out and get a lift at 7:00. So we got to bed early that night. So yeah, it was a great day at Epcot though. We had fun. Do you remember how many miles we walked at Epcot?
No, I can probably really look real quick.
We'll revisit that, but we walked a lot.
Yeah, y'all did. Y'all did Epcot really fast. Like, y'all were very efficient.
We did, and like we weren't visiting a lot of the attractions in there, and like I wasn't drinking around the world. Like, I wasn't getting very drunk. Like, because we had looked at all the menus online and kind of had an idea of what snack places we really wanted to eat at and try.
That's so smart.
Right. So it was nice. It was just a nice day. And honestly, like, again, it's Emma's trip, so I was just letting her pick what we did and kind of go with the flow. And
that's really nice.
Epcot was 16,000 steps.
Nice. 16,000 steps and change. Almost 17,000. So
definitely a lot of steps.
We definitely weren't issues that day. So Tuesday was our Universal day. We didn't take a ton of notes on this day.
One of the notes. Yes, sir.
It was a crazy day. Though, for people that are planning to go over there from a Disney resort, just so they can kind of game plan. So the parks were scheduled to open at 9:00. And when you get your tickets through a travel agent, you actually get an hour early access to the parks. And so,
or if you book at a certain resort,
or if you're booked at Universal for a Universal vacation, but if you're doing a Disney vacation and just adding on a day at Universal, because you know you got to go see Harry Potter or ride the new Velocicoaster, like this is what you would do. So we left our room at about 7:10, and I ordered the lift as we were walking to the lobby, and they picked us up by 7:16. I have a note in here like, oh, we were a little bit behind schedule, but it's okay. I don't know why I thought that was behind schedule. But our estimated arrival time at Universal was 7:35. And I joked and said, Marcel was all about trying to beat that clock because he was punching it on the highway. And we arrived at 7:31. Like he took that arrived by 7:35 as like that time clock to beat. It was funny. So Universal is a little bit different. Like at Disney, you can just have your backpack on your back and walk through the scanner. And even though Universal has the same, at least the scanners look like the same, they're not. So they still did the bag check and everything there. So they went through all the bag, and so they scanned through all that, and that was fine. And we headed down. I did make one mistake of I didn't check to see if both parks were open early for that extra hour, or if only one park was open early for the extra hour for that special ticket that we had. So we headed down to Islands of Adventure because that's where the new Hagrid ride was. And we figured, well, if we're going to get in somewhere an hour early, we want it to be here so we can get on Hagrid's and do our thing. There's no signage or anything along the way until we got all the way down to Islands of Adventure. And then there was a sign there saying, Islands of Adventure is not open an hour early. You have to go to...
Oh, man.
So I was a little frustrated at that point that there was no earlier signs. Mm-hmm. So I probably could have checked the app and everything. But still, not everybody checks the app.
Right. So
the one plus was, though, we still had to get our tickets out of the Will Call kiosk. And because Islands of Adventure wasn't opening the hour early, the kiosk to get the tickets there had no line. So we easily got our tickets and got that all situated, linked them to our app so that way we could do the virtual queues.
That's nice.
And, yeah. And then we headed over to Universal Studios and got in line for that. The line was, and this is good for reference for people that are familiar with it, but the line was backed by Voodoo Donuts. And
oh, that's really far.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of really far, but it was back there. But by the time everything opened, we were scanned in, and we were in the park at 8:04. So we were still in the park at the
that's
hour.
That's nice, yeah.
Really. And at that point, we just headed right over to Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And we were going on, which ride is there? Escape from Gringotts. And just so everybody knows, at Universal, you cannot take bags on the big rides. Like, you have to put them in a locker. And the big lockers that fit the big backpacks, it's $2 to rent those. But the littler lockers are free to rent. So that ride, we were just in a rush to get everything. So I rented that one to like toss my big backpack and everything in. But then later on, what we ended up doing was we just rented for free the two lockers. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like I took a couple of things out of the sides of my backpack and I was able to cram my big backpack in there, which was surprising because I had Emma's Harry Potter robes in
my
backpack and was still able to put that in there. So we rode it, and it was kind of funny because I have in the notes, like, there's no physical distancing at Universal. Like, that's, nobody's paying attention to that. Some people were wearing masks in the line, some people weren't, and that was a story basically throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
I would find. We ended up making the best of the day. And like I said, that's kind of where the notes ended today. Because then we had some issues trying to get food. Part of it was because Emma was being a little particular about what food that she wanted to eat. Mm-hmm. So if you have a child that's being particular, it was going to be maybe difficult. And a lot of places don't have a lot of breakfast stuff at that
time.
And at the time that we booked our trip, you didn't need reservations for certain things. But by the time we went on the trip, you did need reservations for certain restaurants. So there were a few hiccups there. But we had it. We tried to make the best of it and had a good day. Emma, we got some cute pictures because she was all dressed for, you know, Hogwarts. She had her Ravenclaw tie and her Ravenclaw robes and her interactive wand, and it was fun. So we got some cute pictures, and she did some of the spells with her interactive wand, and then we adventured off and tried different rides. I think my favorite that day was the E.T. ride. Just, like, it's such a cute little ride. Like, it's basically kind of like Peter Pan, but for E.T., you know? It's, you know, growing up with that movie, you know, it was just a cute little ride. And then the Men in Black shoot 'em up ride, that ride is kind of like, you know, like the Buzz Lightyear ride where you're shooting at the aliens and everything. So that was fun. That was probably one of the favorites besides the Harry Potter ride. We weren't ever able to get into the Hagrid's ride virtual queue. Some days they are using a virtual queue, some days they aren't. So, and even like some mornings they'll start where they're just using the standby line, but as the park gets busier, they'll change it to a virtual queue. And we just were never able to get, even though like I was on the app and trying to get in there right at the time it all opened, we were never able to get into the virtual queue. So.
That's kind of a bummer. That's unfortunate that it's set up where you really don't, like at least with Rise of the Resistance, you know you have to get the virtual queue. That's the only way.
Right.
For it to go either way is kind of, it's hard to plan.
Right, exactly. And honestly, like, I mean, I know Universal, I just don't know it as well as Disney. You know, like Disney, we could walk around blindfolded in. Mm-hmm. You know, we know exactly where everything is and how everything works. So I think it was because I hadn't been to Universal since July and how things have changed. Like, we just had a few hiccups, but we tried to make the best of it. We ended up leaving probably by, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
I think it was, right after, we just sat right after 4 because we tried at 4 to get into the last virtual queue for Hagrid's, and we didn't get it, and it was really hot. Like, it was...
We went on the Hogwarts ride, because that queue was mostly either inside or outside with fans on you.
Right.
So, all in all, and it's a cool queue to walk in because you're on the Hogwarts grounds.
Right, and you go into the castle and everything, so that's really...
And then after we rode that, we just went back. We called the lift and went back.
Right, yeah, because it was just hot, and, like, it was really packed in the Harry Potter areas, especially, like, Emma was like, well, maybe we should get a Butterbeer. And at that point, I was like, Emma, I don't want to stand in the line in the hot sun for this Butterbeer, because the line for the Butterbeer was even super long. Mm-hmm. So we decided, we're like, we're done. Like, we've done what we can. We're both hot and tired at this point. And we just decided that the next time we come to Universal, we'll probably go in January. You know, when it's much cooler. And we are going to probably do a trip where we stay at Universal and stay at one of the hotels where we can get the express pass, you know, and do it that way, because it'll be much, much easier.
Don't try doing the virtual line for Fast and Furious.
Oh gosh, yeah, we did do the virtual line for Fast and Furious, and like we were all proud of ourselves, like, oh, we got the virtual queue and let's go do this. Then when it came time for us to get on into the line, like we go to get in, so it's supposed to be short because the whole virtual queue, the whole point is like it's holding your spot in line while you're doing other things, and then you just hop in the line. We got into the virtual, finally into the line. It was an hour wait. Like, we waited an hour.
And the standby line was only, 45-50 minutes?
Right. Like, at the time entered the virtual queue. Right. So, anyway, like, I don't know what happened with that. And that ride is not worth an hour wait.
No.
So,
it
was a little frustrating. But we liked the mummy. We rode the mummy ride.
The mummy was really fun.
That was really neat. So, we had fun with the ones that we did. And Emma didn't want to do any of the big, huge coasters. Mm-hmm. So we weren't doing the Velocicoaster, even though it just finally opened yesterday. Like, it officially opened yesterday. They were doing a soft opening of it. But, like, so she didn't want to do any of those big coasters. So we weren't trying to do anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was nice. But you could tell we were tired or I could tell Emma was tired because she fell asleep in the lift on the way.
Oh my gosh.
And that it took a little bit longer to get home because there was, I don't know if it was an accident or not, but there was a car on fire on the highway, on the side of the highway. So it had caused a little bit of a backup. And it was like 5 o'clock.
Yeah. You know,
so it's probably poor timing to decide to leave when you're having to go on the I-4.
Right.
But yeah, so it was nice though because we got back and early, and we on our way back, I started to do a mobile order for the food court at Pop Century. And so then when we got there, I basically was like, oh, we're here. And so they had our food, and we went and sat there in the area where you could watch they have the Mickey shorts playing on the big TV in there. So we probably sat in there for about almost 45 minutes, just eating our food, watching the Mickey shorts. I was catching up on, you know, social media stuff, and we enjoyed our food and then went back. I think we were in bed by like 8 o'clock that night. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like a super old lady. Like we were both in bed by 8 o'clock. I think I was passed out by 9, maybe. So
yeah, but towards the end of your trip, you're just like digging for that energy. It is so hard to keep going.
I know. And of course, we were super excited. Our last day, Wednesday, was our big day. It's our first and only full day at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we decided not to do
rope drop.
Like, we decided not to get there very, very first thing, because we had accomplished a lot of what we had wanted to do at Magic Kingdom that first night.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't really crazy. Because I think, what did we decide the goals were for that day?
The goals were, I believe, Haunted Mansion first thing, like early.
Yes, Haunted Mansion had, and the stipulation was Haunted Mansion had to be done in the daytime, because the last time she wrote it, she was like 3 years younger,
mm-hmm.
and we had written it in the evening, and she kind of had bad, like, she did not enjoy that.
It's a little spooky.
Right, it was a little spooky. So yeah, Haunted Mansion in the morning.
Haunted Mansion in the morning, and then we wanted to do Tom Sawyer Island, mm-hmm. and then we wanted to see if we can do Big Thunder again, and the other two main things were Space Mountain and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at the end of the night.
Right, because we hadn't done either of those two. I love our notes. And not melting. We were hoping not to melt today, because the forecast was 92 degrees, but when we got up that morning, we got up at 8, and it was 78 degrees and 71% humidity. Like, there was definitely a shift. Like, it was the most mm-hmm. humid day. Like, we walked out of the room to put on the spray our sunscreen on and everything, and we were like, ooh.
Like, that's very humid.
Like, my sunglasses fogged up, you know, so it was really humid. We started the day waking up at 8. Let's see. I don't have what time we actually left and got the bus. But I remember when we went there, like, we didn't have to really wait for a bus to get to Magic Kingdom.
You know, usually, I feel like.
Yeah, we haven't had to. Unless you were going for, like, the first thing in the morning, then obviously you might mm-hmm. be waiting for the bus. But, yeah, we entered the Magic Kingdom at 9:25. And the first stop was Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. Because, again, to ride that in the daytime. So the park was opening at 9. So we, mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't really drop. We were there 25 minutes after official opening time. So we went right back to Haunted Mansion. The posted wait was 15 minutes, and we got in the queue at 9:42. They were still kind of physically distancing in the lines. Like, they still had the markers, but I know since then they've taken the physical distancing markers off. So the queue looked like it was still kind of long. Like, it was back by, in Liberty Square. You know where that, like, fruit snack stand kind of in the middle of Liberty Square?
Yeah.
The line started, like, back there.
Oh, yeah, that does seem kind of long.
It seems kind of long, but, yeah, we entered the queue at 9:42, and we boarded the ride at 9:45. So it was literally like
walking nonstop.
3 minutes. Like, it was walking nonstop to get on it. The stretching room was not a thing. Like, you walked just right through the stretching room, which honestly, I mean, I do like the stretching room and that whole thing. What I don't like is when everybody tries to then leave and crowd into that little room, and it's like this little funnel to try to get on the ride.
Yes.
That part I don't enjoy. But it's not like that right now, obviously, because that room is not open. But it was a good ride. Did you? You didn't get too scared this time, but didn't you notice different things?
I noticed I couldn't see anything. I haven't had my vaccine prescription updated yet. We're doing that soon. So in the Haunted Mansion, it's rather dark because it's a Haunted Mansion. So because of that, I couldn't see anything. I can hear them talking like, over here, you see the library. I'm like, this is a dark room. I don't see no library at all.
It was a little dark for her.
Well, I was talking to another guest. I feel like it's darker than usual because even when we went, and I have really good eyesight, I could barely see stuff. It felt really dark.
Right, yeah, and I don't know, like, I think I heard them saying that, too. I forget who's...
It was Jackie.
Okay, it was Jackie's, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I can't remember, but yeah, it does seem dark. But it was a good ride. We had a cute little guy sitting with us at the end for our picture.
Oh, yeah.
That came home with us, but that was nice. And so... After Haunted Mansion, we, of course, then had to make a rest stop at the best bathrooms in all of Walt Disney World, the Tangled bathrooms. Like, most, who knew bathrooms could be popular, but we love that area. And they've added more painting to that area, too. Like, Rapunzel's been over there painting some more murals and stuff. So
it's pretty over there.
And I don't know if you guys know, but there's a little hunting thing you can do over there. You can find little hidden lizards like Gaston.
Pascal.
Well, because the notes say Gaston.
I didn't know that.
His friends. I know. Pascal and his friends were all hiding in the flowers and stuff
cute.
Over there. But they're hidden very well because I've only ever really been able to find two. Like, I need to actually try to find them all over there. But yes, Gaston is written in our notes over here because we decided after the restroom that we needed something to eat because all we had is our morning Dr. Pepper. So we needed a cinnamon roll the size of our head.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As one does.
Yes, as one always does. So we headed over to Gaston's Tavern and went over there and ate, and I have in my notes, and I'm like, since it was supposed to be so hot and very humid today, I made sure that we shared an entire bottle of water while eating that cinnamon roll. Like, mm-hmm. this day, I was probably the best on keeping us both hydrated all day because I did not want anybody getting sick or anything.
Right.
So yeah, that cinnamon roll was yummy.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And I do recommend, like, everyone, like, when you go with your kids, things like that, like, three small kids could probably share one. Like, I think I've had, when our kids were smaller, they shared one.
Mm-hmm.
And then otherwise it's like two adults could share one. I mean, technically three adults could share, you know, but depending. So her and I shared one, and she was able to score us a seat inside because it's very busy over there.
Oh, that's nice.
So yes. So after that, we had to go ride the Little Mermaid ride, the Under the Sea of the Little Mermaid, or really I had to go ride because what I learned on this trip was what? Little Mermaid, you did not like that movie.
No, I know. I've never had. I don't know where you got into your head that I liked that movie.
I thought, because it was a Disney movie and everybody likes that movie, I thought she would have liked it. But she was sweet and tucked it out and rode that one with me because I love that movie, love that ride. Her middle sister loved that movie, loves that ride. She's ridden it six times in a row. And on our
Seven times in a row.
But on our next trip, she wants to beat her record. So.
Oh, that's funny.
We'll see. But, and I love that queue. Like, that queue's really neat. It's got all hidden shells and hidden things all throughout it. It was posted 15-minute wait time. We got in the queue at 10:46. And it was mainly just walking through the queue. We were on by 10:54. So it was really fast. And so I enjoyed singing along with Little Mermaid. That was fun. And Emma tolerated it. So then we decided it was time to go over to Tom Sawyer Island. And if you haven't been over to Tom Sawyer Island, it's so fun. So fun. I hadn't been over there. I can't even remember the last time I went over there. It's been probably at least 20 years since I went over to that island. But you basically, you board a little raft over by Big Thunder Mountain. Like, it's kind of across from the entrance of Big Thunder Mountain. And you take the little raft over. And it's just these two kind of mini islands for exploring. It's Tom Sawyer Islands. And so, like, there's these caves. Like, these caves were, I mean, they were obviously built when Disney first did the parks. Mm-hmm. They were kind of, Emma was a little nervous. Like, she didn't.
They're dark.
Yeah, they're dark. She didn't want to go in there, and she was making me like lead the way and like use her cell phone lights and go through. And some of it, like, I would get to what I thought was the end and be like, "Oh, I guess we turn around and go back." But then it's like, "Oh no, there's another little passageway over here." And so we, you know,
that's really fun. I didn't even know it had stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it's really neat. And they have, well, they had a couple little playground areas, but those parts of it, I think, were shut because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And then they have those, like, barrel bridges, like, where it's on barrels and, like, you walk over it. I remember as a kid, my uncle's, me crossing it, and my uncle's being on either end and then starting to jump and bounce on it and shaking it while I was on it. And then on the other side is that fort.
It's a big fort, and you can, like, run around and little fake animals and stuff like that. And in the rifle mounts, there are rifles that you can shoot, and they make a sound, and you can shoot them at Big Thunder Mountain while the train cart is coming around.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, I mean, obviously it doesn't actually shoot anything. It's just fun. And there's restrooms over there.
Oh, nice.
And then there's, like, an escape tunnel, like, to, you know, if somebody tries to come and raid the fort, you can escape out this escape tunnel. And it's really neat because it's a tiny little tunnel. But in some of these tunnels that you walk through, like, we entered the first one on one side of the island. And when we came out, we were on the other side of the island looking at Haunted Mansion.
Oh, wow.
So it was, yeah.
That's really neat.
And it's shaded over there, tons of trees. And there used to be a little, like, snack place over there. It was closed when we were there. I don't honestly know if they ever really open it anymore. But there's some covered seating over there with rocking chairs and everything. So, like, you can literally go over there and kind of let your preteen, tween kids run wild while you sit on those chairs and watch stuff. I mean, obviously, a little bit younger kids you'll probably want to go with. Right. But, yeah, it was fun. We had a good time over there. Then after we had fun over there, we were waiting for the boat to go back over to the mainland and thinking about heading to Big Thunder and then getting some snacks. Yeah. So, the posted wait time for Big Thunder was 25 minutes. And we got in line at 12:12 and we were on the ride at 12:20. Like, it was 8 minutes. Ridiculously fast.
That's very fast.
Yeah, and I think we only rode once that day.
I think we only rode once because we wanted to get, because we were kind of hungry.
Right, and we had ridden it twice the other day, so we decided, we were good. So we got off that, and we decided, yes, we were hungry, and then this is where we had the new pot stickers, well, new to us pot stickers that we wanted to try was here at Magic Kingdom, so you have to play. Emma discovered that you could mobile order, because we walked by it earlier in the day, and she's like, oh, you can mobile order those, Mom. And so as we got off Big Thunder, I placed the mobile order for it as we were walking over there, because it's at, what is it, Sunshine Seasons, that might be the wrong name for it, but basically it's back
over. It's a little orange bird.
Yes, a little orange bird there. But basically it's back over by the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse and by Pirates of the Caribbean. So we did that. Oh, and we also got some chocolate soft serve ice cream for somebody.
It was hot, and you ate some too.
It was worth it. And as we walked over there, right before we got there, I said, "Okay, yes, we're here." And literally, by the time I got up to it, it was ready for us.
Oh, nice.
We went and picked it up, and then went and stood in the shade and ate it. And the pot stickers were very good. Mm-hmm. We really liked the sauce that was with it. It was like this orangey kind of soy sauce thing. And yes, Emma very much enjoyed her chocolate soft serve ice cream. And I did too, because it, like she said, it was hot. So
yeah,
we did enjoy it. I still needed a little bit more to eat, and my other favorite snack is right in the area, the cheeseburger spring rolls from the cart right outside of Adventureland.
Mm-hmm.
But Emma was interested in doing the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. My old lady legs didn't want to make the hike all the way up and mm-hmm. do all the steps to go to Swiss Family Robinson treehouse. So what we ended up doing is she went and did that while I headed over to the egg roll cart. And I just kind of sat and relaxed a bit. And then she texted me when she was on her way back. So then I got in line for the egg rolls or spring rolls. And she went to find a spot in the shade. You weren't a fan of the...
I did not like the cheeseburger spring rolls, no.
No. Yeah. It's just not her thing. So I happily ate her other half because it comes with two. And I think you had like a bite or two.
I had a bite or
two. And... yeah, and she was eating it, and I was like, oh, you don't have to eat it if you don't like it. Like, I'll happily enjoy the rest of your spring roll. So she's like, okay, here, you know. She gave me that. Then after that, oh, the marching band, the little marching band had come by while we were sitting and eating. So the little cavalcade of the marching band playing their music came by, and so that was cute. And... after snack, it was time to sit and rest for a bit, right? So it was carousel of progress time.
That's a good resting time.
It's a good resting time. So we headed over there, and of course, it's like posted wait was like 15 minutes. So it was just, we were just waiting one cycle through. I think we waited like 8 minutes or something to get onto it. But of course, we sat very comfortably and happily, and again, in there, they're still sitting, like, every other row and, like, leaving a space between each party. And we enjoyed that. I actually didn't fall asleep this time, though. I think because it had been such a long time since I had ridden it, like, I was excited to ride it. I didn't fall asleep. You stayed awake, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I fall asleep at...
that's funny.
...in there. But I just love that ride.
Mm-hmm, I do, too.
And then... after that, it was People Mover time. So we went and hopped on People Mover. It was barely any weight. Like, I think we just walked right onto it, basically. And rode that around, enjoyed it. And Emma rode facing forward.
Yep.
This time, which she enjoyed that much better than riding backwards, right? You could actually see where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
Then we decided to try Buzz Lightyear. Yeah, that's what that name is. Buzz Lightyear. Space Ranger. Spin. The posted wait was like 20 minutes. I think we waited 10 minutes. Like, it was like 2:14 and then got on at 2:25. But it was a disappointing ride.
My gun didn't work.
Oh, man.
It would only shoot once every like 5 times I pulled the trigger.
That's so frustrating. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So she still was able to shoot some things, and at one point she got something that was...
I got something big.
So, but yeah, so it was very disappointing. And we were going to do it again, I thought, but I think at that time the wait time had gone up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because we hadn't eaten in like 20 minutes, it felt like we decided, oh no. Emma wanted to ride Space Mountain. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Because the wait for Space Mountain was at about 30 minutes, which was the lowest we had seen all day so far. And at this time, it was like 2:30. Mm-hmm. So we hopped in line for that. And it was about 30 minutes. Like, we got in the line at like 2:34 and got on the ride basically at 3 o'clock. So, it was about right. What did you think? Did you enjoy Space Mountain?
Space Mountain is one of my favorite rides there, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Were we in the back cart?
No, we were in the front cart, ma'am.
We were?
Yeah. We were in the back of the front cart.
Right, we were in the back, yeah. But anyway, it was fun. It was whipping around. So
yeah.
I like it's that's not my favorite anymore, but I'll ride it with my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to ride and have fun, but I'm going to, my back was creaking after getting off of that.
Yeah, it's a tad jerky.
It is a tad jerky. I think the thing is, like, since you can't see where you're going, you can't prepare yourself for it. So it makes it a little rough.
Yeah, because Big Thunder is jerky too, but I guess because you can see where you're going, you can adjust.
Right, exactly. Like, you've been tense and ready. This uh-huh. one, which way you're turning.
Yep.
But since we tackled that mountain, it was time to reward ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, we hadn't eaten in a while, like an hour. So.
Well, we had just been eating snacks all day.
We had just been eating snacks all day. So it was time for a chocolate shake mm-hmm. for Emma. Mm-hmm. And a strawberry smoothie from Auntie Gravity's, which is basically right across from People Mover and everything. Like, it's right down under there. And so I was being healthy with a strawberry smoothie. That thing's all sugar. Like, it's no kidding. Right. It's like all. There's nothing healthy about that smoothie.
It's got strawberries in it.
It's got strawberries in it.
It's got your daily food dose.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But we had a nice little spot in the shade, and we just sat and enjoyed the shakes. And obviously that took a little bit longer to drink. Then we decided it was Emporium shopping time. So we went down and we started on the left-hand side and went through, like, first went to, like, the really pretty, my favorite store, which is the jewelry store with all the Dooney and Burks and the pretty dresses. And then normally the next step is my other favorite, which is the Art of Disney store, but that wasn't there. They didn't have that. What they had in place of it was all the candy stuff from the sweet shop, because the sweet shop is going under renovations. It's being remodeled. So they moved the sweet shop over into where the Art of Disney normally is, and then Art of Disney went over to that store by Gaston's Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
The little shift. It was definitely, you know, disappointing for me because I'm at the Art of Disney store, but, you know, when the kids see that candy shop is closed for refurbishment, they won't be disappointed because they can still get there.
Gotta get that candy.
Candy. Right. And let's see, I'm just reading this really quick. After we shopped, because then we did go into the Emporium on the other side and kind of look through stuff, and I bought something for one of my neighbors that she had been hunting for but couldn't find. And I can't remember, you didn't get anything in the Emporium.
No.
Did you? No, she didn't get anything this time. We decided to head back towards Pirates of the Caribbean because we hadn't done that. The posted wait time was about 35 minutes. And we figured, you know, since we hadn't done it, the line wasn't too bad. We got in the line at 4:52, and we were on at 5:30, so it was a little bit over. But I blame that on the girl who split us at some point. Yeah. Like, you get to the point where they can split you to go this way, which is, like, normally the fast pass queue versus this. Well, the way she split us, the line was actually longer over there. Like, the party that was in front of us got on, like, what, probably four or five boats before us.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, dang it.
She didn't mention this in the notes, but while we were in line, the Crystal Palace had reservations you can make.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we were in line, we made a reservation for the Crystal Palace.
Yes, we decided we wanted to actually have, like, sit down and again, Emma wanted to make, like, I had to make sure Emma was going to like the stuff on the menu. And so I decided, like, okay, let's try for these different places. And then I was excited because Crystal Palace has only just recently reopened, like, hasn't been open the whole time. So I was looking forward to trying that out. So yeah, while we were in line for Pirates, because normally, like, you have to make your dining reservations in advance, but occasionally they have walk-ups available. But this is great. It's basically like a virtual walk-up. So, like, we saw, it's like, okay, 45-minute wait. We got in it and did that. So
that's so nice.
Yeah. So then, yeah, we enjoyed our ride on Pirates. Emma got wet. She wasn't expecting that. First of all, she forgot about the drop in the ride. She forgot about the drop. And then at one point when the cannons were, they were shooting off the cannons, one of the splashes got her. She was like, what is this? I'm like,
she's a real pirate now.
She's a real pirate now. Yeah. So then we got off that ride and we enjoyed shopping around that shop a bit. The last time on our last trip, we spent a lot of time in that gift shop because
we got stuck there because of the rain.
We got stuck there because it was like monsoon pouring the last time we were there. Actually, this trip was the first time I ever went on a trip and didn't get stuck in any rain I don't even think it rained while we were there.
That's nice.
So that was pretty magical. So we looked around that shop for a bit, and then we just decided to go over to Crystal Palace and sit on the patio and wait for our 6:30 renovation. And so you're able to check in online 15 minutes before your reservation. So we checked in at 6:15, and we were actually seated at 6:25. It was really good. I enjoyed it. So basically what they do is you have like kind of two shared appetizers. You get this like mixed green salad with candied pecans, which Emma kept on stealing all those. She didn't eat any of the salad, but she ate the pecans. And then you get a basket of pecans. You also get a little basket of cornbread muffins. Some of the cornbread muffins are just plain. Some of them have like bacon and jalapeno in them.
Oh, yum.
I really enjoy the bacon and jalapeno ones. Emma really liked the corn, just the plain ones. She doesn't like the... She's like, leave my cornbread alone. Mm-hmm. It just needs plain. They were both very delicious. So you share those and then you order your entree. Emma, my lover of meat, ordered the prime rib with au gratin potatoes and asparagus.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the prime rib was like the size of your face. And you enjoyed that, right? Mm-hmm. She ate almost every bite of that, I think. The asparagus was a little disappointing to her, though. It wasn't bad. It's just not the way she likes it.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little bit raw. I'm not going to lie.
Right, like it's a bad day. Well, however. She didn't care. That was good. And I don't even think, you didn't even touch your potatoes.
No, I wanted to eat my primer.
Yeah, she just... Her concentration was a steak. Like, she probably could have just told them, like, leave the potatoes.
Yeah, just bring me a steak.
Right. And then I got the fried chicken and mac and cheese. And it comes with green beans, but I don't eat vegetables, really. And so I got asparagus instead for Emma to have it. Because normally if Emma enjoys the asparagus, she will eat a ton of it. But, My fried chicken was really good. And it was this, like, huge portion. Like, it literally came with a breast, a thigh, and a drumstick.
Oh, wow.
Right. It was, like...
That's a lot.
Way too much. Like, I wish you could split... You can't split meals here, unfortunately. Like, mm-hmm. But I wish you could split meals. Or if we were staying at a room that, like, had a bigger fridge than what we had. Like,
and we weren't leaving tomorrow.
I would have... Yeah. I would have saved it. If we weren't leaving the next morning. The dessert came out and it could have fed an army. Because, so, it's this plate, and obviously it's family style, so it's supposed to, like, I mean, you're a party of two, but they're still bringing out the same amount of dessert for everybody, you know?
That's kind
of
crazy. And, you think they would?
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, it had peach cobbler with a vanilla sauce, which that was our favorite. We both enjoyed that. It had a banana cream pie, a little banana cream pie thing. I didn't even bother trying it because I don't like banana cream pie. I tried it and didn't care for it. It had, what was it, that chocolate cupcake?
The chocolate cupcake with the raspberry buttercream.
Yeah, and it had caramel filling.
And it had caramel filling. That was really good. I ate that.
Yeah, Emma ate that. She didn't eat the whole thing, but she ate
it. Half the peach cobbler.
Yeah, because she ate half the peach cobbler. That was her favorite. And then there was this hummingbird cake, which it was good. It's just a really kind of dense cake. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part of it was the cream cheese frosting on top of it. But
which she did not warn me about until after I had already tried it. And I hate cream cheese frosting with all my heart, so I was gagging at the table because she didn't warn me.
Yes, she did not care for the green cheese pie.
Did you not warn her on purpose?
No, I just didn't even think it, because honestly, she normally doesn't eat frosting anyway.
But they said it was coconut cream frosting.
Right, so I think that was, the coconut cream was in between the layers.
No, that was the pineapple.
Oh, okay. Who knows? I don't know. But, so, and like I said, normally she doesn't eat frosting anyway. Like, she's that kid that scrapes it off the cupcake. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't expect her to try it. And I was probably, like, drooling over the peach cobbler at the time when she went to try her bite of it. So, no, I didn't not warn her on purpose. Like, just.
I still wasn't warned, though.
She still wasn't warned, though.
That's funny. I sometimes don't warn my kids on purpose just so they'll try it. Because they'll say, I don't like it. And then they'll try it and they like it.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Mom.
I could see that, but yeah, no, that didn't work.
Crystal Palace, it was really, really good. And it's really cute in there. It'll be probably a little while before they can bring back characters in there because it's still kind of tight with all the tables. And our table location wasn't the best. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in Crystal Palace, but like, it was basically almost like our table was like kind of added last minute. And because they're trying to spread it out a little bit more. So we were almost like in the lobby. So like a lot of people, when they were going to seat them, kind of went by us and everything. And next up, we decided after dinner, it was time for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Because we had accomplished everything else that we wanted to do that day. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was the last thing that we had to accomplish. And the wait time was only 35 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we were like, we need to do this. So after we were done with dinner, we walked on over there. I think we stopped and took a few pictures because it was that pretty twilighty time of day. And we got in the queue at 7:37. And at 7:45, we were, like, when we got in the queue, it was outside of the ride, like, kind of by Winnie the Pooh. And at 7:45, we were finally in the actual queue. And since the line was moving along quickly, Emma figured, well, I better put my stuff in my backpack so that way I'm ready. And at that point, she realizes, what?
I don't have my backpack with me. Oh, no.
Yes, she didn't have her backpack.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yes. So, we quickly hopped out of line and then were basically booking it back to the restaurant because, like, they'll keep, like, if you forget something or whatever, they'll keep it for a little bit, but then eventually, after a certain amount of time, and I don't know how much that time is, like, I don't know if it's an hour or two, they then send it to Lost and Found, which Lost and Found is in a totally different area and not very easy to deal with, but thankfully, we rushed back there, and we got back there, and I was like, my daughter left her backpack, and they're like, oh yeah, we have it. And so they actually had it in the little office there, and it had like a tag on it saying table whatever, I think 35, like whatever table number we were.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, yeah, so of course now we were a little sweaty after having to book it back there, and then we did a quick restroom, and by the time we got back over to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, it had jumped a whopping, it hadn't jumped any. It still said it was 35 minute wait for it. So we got in line at 8:05 and the queue had started by the teacups. Like, so it was down by the teacups. But we were right on the ride at 8:40. So it was like exactly 35 minutes. I try to say that so people aren't scared. Like, oh my gosh, the line's all the way down here. It's like, no, and there have been several times I've gotten in that line right at the teacups, and it's been 35 minutes or under. So it's very accurate. And Seven Dwarfs was great.
Oh, yeah. It was really fun riding it.
Right. It was your first time riding it. What did you think? Like,
I thought it was really fun. It's really smooth.
Yeah.
It's not really herky-jerky like some of the other coasters there. And it's fun to look around on the ride and notice some of the details and get the logs and such.
Yeah, and we were in the center of the train. So we had a nice little ride, and I was trying to get it because it rocks back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. you can make it rock back and forth and everything. So I was trying to make it rock back and forth, but there was a dad that didn't realize that in front of me. Him and his kid were throwing the weight off. So
he
didn't get it going. I was like, dang it, I'm trying to rock it. But he was not helping me.
That's such a fun ride.
Right. And it was. And it was a really nice way to end the trip because it's Snow White. And that ride's done so well. And I love the Seven Dwarfs. And Doc's my favorite, you know, mm-hmm. my grandfather and everything. So we just really enjoyed it. And then we decided to head out, even though like there was still time. The park closed at 9 and we could have gotten in line for something else, but we mm-hmm. decided that we were like, no, we're done. It was a great day. And so we were walking out the gates at about 8:56. We were in line at the queue at 8:59. And as we were walking up, like we saw two of the big Academy buses pulled away. And so we kind of thought it was going to be a little while, like we might have to wait a little while. Mm-hmm. But then they sent a few more buses, and they sent the super stretch, as we call it, like that double decker bus.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to wait for a couple of ECVs to be loaded. So that's always frustrating, like when you're tired and yes. waiting for this. And then, there was this little boy in line behind us who, he was having a little bit of a meltdown,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he was tired. It was the end of the day. He wanted on the bus, and he was all bummed because, like, we didn't get on the last bus, and then our bus pulled up, and, like, I was trying to help her mom out and be like, oh, look, buddy, like, we're getting on the super big bus. That's the special bus sent for us, like, the double. He starts crying because it doesn't have Mickey on it. Like, he was all about wanting it to have Mickey on it, and so.
Oh, no.
That didn't help, but it was like, okay, whatever. So we were on the bus by about 9:18. So it was like a 20 minute wait that we had. But honestly, for the time that we were leaving at and that they had to load the, like, that's nothing compared to sometimes what we've waited for right. buses. So I felt like we had really good pixie dust on this trip with transportation for the mm-hmm. most part.
That's what it sounds like.
And then we headed back to the room. Possibly the funniest thing we heard on the trip was as we were walking by some family, and the mom's yelling at her kid, like, you need to apologize when you stab somebody. We were just like, what are you?
What? I need the context.
Right. Like, yeah. It was just one of those like little bits of conversation that you hear.
Right. Like, she had boys, because I'm sure I've said that before.
Right. It was crazy. So we got back to the room, we emptied out our park bags, and got pretty much all sorted and packed up, like, because obviously we're leaving. Normally I don't like to when I'm leaving, I try to book the latest flight out, but mm-hmm. they just didn't have very late flights out.
Mm-hmm.
So we got everything packed up as much as we could. I was in bed by 10:45. Emma was already asleep by the time I got into bed. And Tragical Express was coming for us at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we planned to leave by 7:30. So we were up at 6. We got up at 6:30. And I'm glad I did. And so one thing I did was, like, you get your folio emailed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Typically the night before, but sometimes that morning. So you get your folio, and I'm glad I looked at it, because honestly, oftentimes, like, I never check it because I don't often charge things back to the room anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I checked it because it had a nightly parking fee on there, which I didn't park there, but I was assuming likely because I happened to come in on a lift one day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something got scanned that I came in a car, and so they put that we parked there. So I just made sure to note, like, okay, I need to make sure I tell clients about this. Like, please make sure you check your folio. And this is for everybody listening. Make sure you check your folio before you check out, because make sure there's no charges on there like this. Because it was like $15 a night, so it added up, you know, for the number of nights we were there. So we left the room at about 7:20. I had planned to leave the room by 7:30, but since I had to deal with this, we left a few minutes early. And Thankfully, there was no line for the front desk, and so I went up and spoke with the cast member. It took her a few minutes to do it all because she couldn't just click them all and remove them all at once. Mm-hmm. She had to remove each one at a time, but she was sweet. She took care of it. It was fine. We were done by 7:34. So we went over and we were over there at like 7:34, and there was already a bus there. It was the 7:35 Magical Express. And he actually asked if we wanted to get on it and head to the airport early. But I did not want to. I don't leave yet. I'd rather sit here. But later I regretted that choice. We waited for the 8:05 one and got there. And it was fine. It wasn't one of the Disney buses, because Disney is changing, and like next year they're not going to have Magical Express. And so I think they're starting to lessen the number of like Magical Express mm-hmm. buses there are. So this that was just sense. A regular like dynamic bus, I think it was called, mm-hmm. instead of a Disney bus. But it was nice because it had plugs, it had USB chargers, and it had a cup holder. So
that's nice.
It was a nice bus. But then when we got to the airport, when we had to, we did the online check-in and we had all of our stuff, but we still had to check our bags mm-hmm. in. We were flying Spirit and the line for that was very long, very, very long. That was probably the longest line besides the Fast and the Furious that we waited in the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
But then thankfully getting through security, there was no real line for security.
That's nice.
And we were still there. We were still there, I think, in plenty of time. Like, we still had time to sit and wait. Mm-hmm. But, of course, like, when we first got there and it was that big, long line, I was kind of wishing we had gotten on a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Bus, maybe not have waited in that line so much. But
it's just the littlest things at the airport can stress you out.
Back to the real world. But everything was smooth sailing on the way home. And we loved it. My husband picked us up with the other two kids and everything went smooth. And the kids were all like, when do we get to go on our next Disney trip? Mom, I want to do a Disney trip with just me and you and all this stuff. They were trying to finagle their next Disney trip. Uh-huh. So at that point, my husband just kind of gave me the look and looked over because we hadn't told them yet that we were mm-hmm. all going in July. And so then it was, okay, well, fine. How about this? Like, we're having this trip with our agents at the end of July. Why don't you kids just come with us? And they were like, oh, whatever. I'm like, nope, it's already booked. You kids are coming with us. And they didn't believe me. And so I had to pull up my Disney Experience app and show them the park reservations with their name. I mean, Emma already knew because I told her early. But
that's so fun.
So the best way not to have post-Disney depression after you leave a trip is to already have your next trip booked.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So it sounds like y'all had a really fun trip. I loved hearing all your stories. What was y'all's favorite moment?
So for me, my favorite moment, it was several moments just throughout the trip. And it's sappy stuff because Emma kept holding my hand as we were going through the parks and everything. Like, she would just grab my hand unless it was too hot and everything. But yeah, that was my favorite. Just those little moments. Like, of course we enjoyed all the big rides and all the mm-hmm. things, but when she would keep on holding my hand or when she squealed over getting her gadget pin, just getting to see her be a little kid still.
That's really fun. You know,
while there, that was my favorite. She's patting me like, oh, Mom,
you're I think that's sweet.
My favorite moment was crawling and finding my magic thing. I was very happy about that.
Right. You take your kid to Disney and she's all excited about finding a little gadget thing. So that was, I know. So
it's that the little things.
Yeah, it's the little things.
That's great. Well, thank you for coming on the show. And now I am going to ask Becky some questions so she can give us some good advice from a travel agent.
All right. Okay. I'm nervous now.
Okay, so as a travel agent, when do you think the best time to visit Disney would be coming up?
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's a tough question because, of course, personally, I feel any time of the year is the best time to visit Walt Disney World. So really kind of depends on what you're thinking, what you want. Of course, the big thing that's coming up this October 1st starts off the celebration for Disney World's 50th anniversary. And it's going to be fantastic. They're planning all these special events, but it's actually going to be about an 18-month long celebration. And it's just kicking off October 1st. So basically for the next year and a half, you're going to be able to enjoy all these events. So really it comes down to what experience you want to have for your family. So if you want to go during the holidays, Christmas time is fantastic, but maybe you don't want to go during the busiest time of the year, which is also Christmas time. So early December is a great time to go. Or if you want to be there for the fall things, really you can make the best of any trip. But my personal favorite time of the year to go is early March, because typically the weather is fantastic. March is also my birthday month and all my kids' birthday month, so it's a special month for us.
That's cool.
But typically, right, typically the weather is fantastic. My favorite festival is going on at Epcot, the Flower and Garden Festival. And early March is usually before a lot of the schools start their spring breaks, so it's not as busy as it is like later March and things like that. So mm-hmm. I guess, yes, my favorite time is early March, but we can also help you make the best of any time of year that you want to go.
That sounds really good. Yeah, we went for spring break and I just had in my mind told myself it was going to be busy. So when it was busy, I wasn't shocked.
Right.
So yeah, I think if you just set your expectations, because sometimes you can only go when you can go.
Right.
Exactly. But the weather was so nice.
Right. You know, and you have to take that into factor. If you want the kids to miss school or are okay with them missing school or not missing school, like you just have to be prepared for for what to expect.
For sure. Okay, so with park reservations and everything, is there any possibility at this point for someone to visit on October 1st?
Yes, there is actually, though I have to put the disclaimer on it. Depending on when the podcast airs and how things go, it might not be available at the time. But for the most part, it is, because they actually did just release a whole bunch of park reservations because they are increasing capacity. So they did just release a whole bunch of park reservations for it. And I was actually just last night pricing out and looking for a trip for a family for that week. And there was still resort availability, limited though. Like obviously like some of the resorts are already sold out for that week, but they still had some available. And there was still park reservation availability for both Magic Kingdom and Epcot and the other parks too. Like, so the 50th anniversary, it's a lot of people focus it more on Magic Kingdom because I mean, obviously it's Magic Kingdom, the castle, everything, but it's also Epcot's 50th anniversary. And October 1st is when the Ratatouille ride is opening. So I'm actually going on October 1st. I'm going to Epcot instead of going to Magic Kingdom. I'm going to Magic Kingdom the next day. But the other parks are still, are even when Magic Kingdom and Epcot were booked up for park reservations, the other two parks still had availability. So you can absolutely go and visit that week to celebrate the 50th. If you're not able to get into Magic Kingdom or Epcot on the 1st, you can most likely get into another park and then visit Magic Kingdom and Epcot sometime else during that week while you're there. But it's absolutely still a possibility.
That's good to know. They just started, they just released the commercials and now they're on TV. So I know people are probably like, I gotta be there.
I know.
Can I even go?
It is going to be fantastic. But like I said, it is an 18-month long celebration. So it's going to go through December 2022. They're going to be doing all these different celebrations, all these different fun things throughout that time.
Also, I'm hoping, we don't know exactly yet, but when the new Tron cycle coaster is going to open, I know they're trying to shoot for that as soon as possible. So you won't miss out if you don't get to be there exactly on October 1st. Like, there's stuff to do and enjoy throughout the entire year for it.
That's great news. For a first-time visitor, what resort would you recommend?
Ooh, so it all depends on what sort of vacation you're looking forward to. Like, I guess I could kind of recommend one in each category of resort that Disney has. So Disney has what I like to say 3.5 levels of resorts. They have value resorts, moderate resorts, deluxe, and then deluxe villa resorts. So for like in the value resorts, my favorite is the resort we just stayed at, Pop Century. It's a little bit of a smaller resort. It's easy to get around for first timers. You have two different ways to get to the parks. Obviously, you've got the Skyliner and you've got the buses and everything. So it's just, like I said, it's very simple. And if you're going with younger kids, they love all of the huge overdone, like the giant yo-yos and the big foosball court and all that. Like, we love that area. For the moderate resort range, this one's a little tougher because one of my favorite moderate resorts has not reopened yet, unfortunately. So if it's for one of the ones that is currently open, honestly, my favorite is the Fort Wilderness Campground and Cabins. And some people listening to this might be like, are you crazy? Like, that place is like way out there, whatever. It's super close to Magic Kingdom, and normally first-time visitors, Magic Kingdom is their main focus. But the cabins are basically like a vacation within a vacation. Like, I could literally go to the cabins and spend the whole week there and not visit a park. I mean, I could never actually do that because I have to go to a park in my mind.
Right.
But you could spend a whole week there and just enjoy a vacation there. And there's so much there for the kids to do, like, especially if you're trying to slow it down and have some more rest days in there. I just absolutely love, love, love that resort. The other two moderate resorts that are currently open, they're just very, very large and can take time getting used to getting around and everything like that. You can get lost in them a little bit. They're still fantastic, but you know, I'm just trying to think of for first time visitors. For sure. Then in the deluxe category, that's going to depend on if your family really loves to swim and is wanting to swim and relax while they're on vacation and visit the parks. If that's it, then I highly recommend the beach or yacht club. They're a little bit more boutique, smaller size resorts, but they have the absolute best pool on property. Stormalong Bay is fantastic. It's got the zero entry. It's got Lazy River, water slide. Like, it's fantastic. And you can literally walk into the back entrance of Epcot from there.
Yeah, that's so
you
nice.
Can take, yeah, you can take a boat down to Hollywood Studios. You could technically walk to Hollywood Studios from there, but I don't, like, you're walking enough while you're there.
Right.
Like, to walk down there. You can take the Skyliner. You know, and then of course you have the buses, like it's fantastic. Otherwise, if you're wanting that quintessential Disney trip thing, I say stay on one of the monorail resorts, which those are the ones right at Magic Kingdom, and you're looking at either Grand Floridian, Contemporary, or the Polynesian. My favorite out of those three is the Grand Floridian. And that's just because I love Mary Poppins, and that's what that resort is themed all about, is Mary Poppins. Also, you literally, like, you could be eating at the quick service restaurant there and you're looking at Cinderella Castle, and you can either hop on the monorail to get over to Magic Kingdom or just take the boat right over there. Like, it's fantastic. Of course, my husband would say the Contemporary because he loves the whole design of the Contemporary and that the monorail runs through it, but I'm a little more girly, and I just feel like the Grand Floridian is a little bit more magical, a little more
you know, it's got Disney character stuff throughout, like all of them do, but
it's beautiful.
That would just be magical and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then the Villa Resorts, all of the deluxe resorts also have what's called, like, the Disney Vacation Club villas in them. And I would recommend any of those, especially for people that are staying for a little bit longer and maybe are looking to, like, not go out so much to the restaurants and maybe have breakfast in their room, because some of those rooms have full kitchens and everything like that. But really, any one of the deluxe hotels for the DVC, those would be great for.
That's really good information. Okay, what order do you recommend doing the parks?
Oh, I always have to, like, you have to start at Magic Kingdom. Like, that's just my thing. You always, and in an ideal world, it would be start at Magic Kingdom and end at Magic Kingdom. So ideally, especially with my first time guests, like, I tell them, like, try to plan for five days in the park, hopefully with a rest day in between. Start with Magic Kingdom, end with Magic Kingdom. And then typically I like the second day to be Animal Kingdom, just because, you know, especially for first time visitors, that first day at Magic Kingdom, you're doing all that walking, all that going around and everything. It's tiring. So going to Animal Kingdom the next day is good, because Animal Kingdom's out is a little bit smaller and its hours are shorter, so you're going to be there less time, you know, so it's a little bit easier of a park to do. Then I typically say probably Epcot. And this is just because you want to have your Hollywood Studios day further out in the trip, especially if you're wanting to get reservations for building a droid or building a lightsaber for your kids, because or getting an Oga's Cantina reservation, because the further it out, the better luck it is for you to get, or your trusty travel agent to book for you when your dining date opens up. Then I try to say have a rest day in between at that point, because that's going to be a lot of walking, and then do Hollywood Studios and then finish off with Magic Kingdom. Because you got to start and end with the classic, with the castle.
That's a great plan. Okay, let's talk about cruises. I know Disney cruises haven't started yet. What is your recommendation when it comes to cruising right now?
That's so hard. So I'm kind of holding off a bit on booking cruises for people right now. We have done some, like, I will happily book anything for 2022 or later this year. So right now I'm most comfortable booking anything that is cruising from, like, November of this year and beyond, just because, and this isn't from any insider information or anything, like, Disney hasn't told us anything that we haven't told anybody, but it's just one of those things. I'm being cautious. Like, I just don't want to book somebody's stuff and then we have to change it, switch it, move it, and do all that hassle. Cause it's awful when you're getting so excited and looking forward to something and then it changes.
Right.
So it does seem like a lot of the cruise lines have already said, like, we're cruising in July. I know there's a couple of test cruises going on right now with different cruise lines. So once we start seeing those test cruises being completed, and the test cruises are being done with, like, cast members, volunteers, things like that. Like, it's not really open for the public to be like, oh, let me book myself on that one.
Right.
So I'm just being cautious about it. If you do want to go on a cruise, they're fantastic. I love cruising. I especially love Disney cruising. It's my favorite. I just would hold off on it. Best bet for next year. If you're dying for this year, I'm thinking it's going to be November or later is when it's going to be all up and running and running smoothly.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Maybe. And it comes back sooner than that. Like, that would be fantastic. But
yeah. These uncertain times.
Yeah.
And of course, it's one of those things, if you call me and say, Becky, I want you to book me for September, I'll book you for September, but I'm going to warn you, I'm not sure it's going to go.
Yeah. So. I guess you got to pick your risks at this point.
Right, right.
Okay. Is there any other advice you would give to someone who's interested in planning a trip to either Disney World or Disneyland right now?
I would say, of course, reach out to your trusted travel agent. If you don't have one, reach out to us and we will get you set up with somebody here with Trolley Lane. And start planning now, because travel is back. Everybody, I mean, we all know we've all been cooped up, and those who are ready to and feeling safe to travel are doing so. So if you're even thinking about it, I know for some people, they're like, oh, well, we're not thinking to go until, you know, November. We don't need to book it yet. Yes, you do. Like, it's getting booked up quickly, because they're still, Disney's especially, is still being very cautious. They are still limiting capacity. All of their resorts are not open yet. So availability is limited. Like, we're already seeing some hotels sold out for Thanksgiving week, Christmas week, like things like that. So it's definitely something that you want to do as soon as possible. And it's very easy. Disney's very flexible. Like, all it is, it's just a $200 deposit. If your dates change, plans change, there's no change fees or anything like that to do. And if, like, right now there's no promotions out for later in the year, but if a promotion comes out and you're booked with a Trolley Lane travel agent, I'll say for us, because I don't know what other agencies do and their policies are, but when you book a trip with us, when new promotions come out, we are up first thing that morning and we are running through and checking every single one of our clients' trips that are booked during the promotion dates. And if the promotion applies to our client's trip, we apply it for them automatically, so they don't have to worry about missing out on any more savings or anything like that. So yeah, definitely my biggest thing is, if you're thinking about it, get in contact with someone and book it now, because if you wait too long, it'll be gone. Like, I've hated it. I've had to not turn people away, sort of say, but I've had people reach out to me wanting to go in June. They reached out to me at the end of last month, and I'm like, well, I'm sorry. There was no park availability at the time. There was no for their date. So we had to, thankfully they were able to be flexible and push their dates out. But if you're not able to be flexible, you know, then they missed out on their vacation. So
yeah, with the park availability, it's just so different. You can't just
right,
go.
Right. And from what Disney has said, they're, I believe they're keeping that park reservation system going forward. So that's pretty much how it's going to be. And as of right now, we are booking through, I believe it's end of September, 2022.
Okay.
So if you're thinking even for next year, you know, you can do that now as well.
That's really good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Becky, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I loved hearing about yours and your daughter's trip, and then your great advice at the end. I know that's priceless.
Thank you. Hopefully I didn't ramble on too much. I know when I start talking Disney, I can talk forever. So.
Oh, no, it's fun. But you did
it's
great.
It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been
hopefully,
great.
Hopefully you'll have us back some other time.
Oh, yes, anytime.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed this episode and the great advice from Becky at the end. If you would like more information on how Becky or any of the agents at Trolley Lane Travel can help you plan your next Disney vacation, please visit trolleylanetravel.com. If you plan a trip with Trolley Lane Travel and would like to be featured on the show, let your agent know. This is how we get our guests. And of course, this show would not be successful without your vacation stories. And finally, please help support the podcast by rating and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. This is the best way for people to become familiar with the show. Thank you so much for listening today. You can visit us on Instagram @Disney Travel Tales to see pictures of Becky and Emma on their vacation. We will be back next week with a special retro Disney travel tale. This one is quite the story. Until then, this is Jenny, and may all your Disney travel dreams become a reality.